Welcome to the Voice of the Lord Radio Church Hour with Pastor Billy R. Douglas. Stay tuned for music, encouragement, and the preaching of the Word of God. It is our prayer that the next hour will bless and strengthen you as you listen to the songs of Zion and the anointed preaching of God's holy word. Go with us now to the sanctuary of Voice of the Lord Tabernacle in Livermore, Kentucky for today's service.
You can turn to Psalms, the 61st chapter. Hallelujah. I'm going to talk about prayer for a few minutes this morning, the importance of prayer. If we ever lived in a day when the church should be praying, it's today. Amen. Not that she should never be praying, because we should be all the time, but boy, I tell you what, there's a saying that the world has, desperate times call for desperate measures. I like to put it like this, desperate times call for desperate prayer. Amen? Hallelujah. But I want to share with you a few quotes from different preachers throughout the years about prayer, because apparently the church of today has put a very low premium on prayer. Oh, they like the demonstration of the Spirit, and they like the hoop and the holler, and sadly most churches today like the lights and the glitz and the glamour and the smoke and the mirrors and all of the Hollywood scene. They like all of that, but when it comes time for prayer, they're busy doing something else. Amen. Hallelujah. But this man wasn't a preacher, but I liked what his quote was. Abraham Lincoln, of course, President of the United States, said, "I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go, that my own wisdom and that all about me seemed so insufficient for that day." Oh, the sooner we realize that truth, church, the more we'll pray. Amen. The more we realize that the task is too great for us, but we know one, hallelujah, in whom all things are possible. Hallelujah. That coming from it, we could use a president like that today. Amen. Martin Luther said this, "As is the business of tailors to make clothes and cobblers to make shoes, so it is the business of Christians to pray." John Wesley said, "God does nothing but by prayer and everything with it." Thomas Watson said, "Prayer delights God's ears, it melts his heart, and it opens his hand." F.B. Meyer said, "The greatest tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer." Oh, I thought some of these were so good. D.L. Moody said, "Every great movement of God can be traced back to a kneeling figure." Amen. Listen, you can go through the Old Testament, you can go through the New Testament. Men and women of God were prayers. Amen. They prayed, they sought God. Our forefathers in the Old Testament, everywhere they went, they'd build an altar. Amen. And they would pray and they would offer up a sacrifice. Of course, we know today we don't build an altar and slay an animal. But in the spiritual sense, it's time for the church to rebuild the altar. Amen? It's time for Christians to not just pray at church, but Brother Brennan to pray at home. Amen? It's time to clean out the prayer closet and get back in there and on our knees and seek the face of a living God for a world that is lost and undone and on its way to hell without God. It's time to seek the face of God to stir the hearts of His people that are cold and lackadaisical and backslidden and so worldly you can't tell the difference between the church and the world anymore. If there was ever a time, if there was ever a call to cry, today is the day. I'll give you one or two more quotes. Prayer is as natural an expression of faith as breathing is of being alive. That's Jonathan Edwards. Leonard Ravenhill said, "A man may study because his brain is hungry for knowledge, even Bible knowledge. But he prays because his soul is hungry for God. Amen. Hallelujah. Oswald Chambers said, prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. Amen. God puts a high premium on prayer. Sadly, most of the church doesn't, but God does. We could read this morning, and we have before, scripture after scripture, where God, as a matter of fact, if you'll do a search for it, and it's so much easier now to do it through a computer or a phone that has an app on there that can do it, but if you'll search for the word prayer, or pray, or prayed, or praying, you'll find it 500 plus times in the Word of God. And that's not even including the times that it talks about our supplications and intercession and different forms of prayer. God puts a high premium on prayer, but sadly most of the church don't. Amen? Most of the church don't put a high premium on prayer, but God does. Listen to this quote from E.M. Bounds. Prayer succeeds when all else fails. Now those are great quotes, amen? And I didn't give them all to you, but I do have some papers I'm going to hand out this morning that has the other quotes with it. Those are great quotes, but the most important thing this morning, Brother Brennan, is what does God's Word say? Amen? According to God's Word, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes very little. That ain't what the Bible says, amen? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen? Now, I like to preach. But in that scripture, in that passage, it didn't say that preaching availed much, although it does. God was trying to tell us that there is power in prayer. Amen? And the old saints knew this. The old saints knew this. They'd be hanging up their drawers on the clothesline and they'd be praying, amen? They'd be wringing out the wash and they'd be praying. They'd be cleaning the house and they'd be praying. Because they knew. See, that's our communication with the Lord. How long do you think your marriage and your relationship with your wife would last if you only talked to her on Sunday morning and Wednesday night? No, we've got to have this communion. Prayer is a vital, important thing. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. Amen? The Bible tells us that men ought always to pray and not to faint. The disciples came to Jesus one time and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Oh, we could use some of that. Hallelujah. We need to seek the face of the Lord today and say, Lord, teach me to pray. Show me the importance of prayer. I can see it in your word. Now teach me to pray. So with the National Day of Prayer being this coming up week, I thought we would look at prayer, like I said, which we've done so many times. We're a praying church. Amen. We believe in prayer. Hallelujah. Not just at church, but at home too. The National Day of Prayer is a day of religious observance in the United States of America in which people are called to pray for their country. Honey, if you don't think this country needs prayer, you need to watch about 5 minutes of the news. May not even take you that long. Pick up the newspaper, read a few lines. The first official day of prayer in the United States was in 1775 when the Continental Congress called for the public to fast and pray for the leadership of the colonies. And there have been many others throughout history. Different presidents have called for a day of prayer. George W. Bush did it after the 9/11. And you can go back farther than that. Abraham Lincoln had them praying over the war between the states. But the National Day of Prayer, as we know it today, began in 1952 by a resolution passed by the U.S. Congress and signed by Harry Truman. And I made this statement this week to a good friend of mine, and I'll share it with you this morning. It's hard to figure out why the church can see the need for so many things that is not needful, yet does not see the need for that which is most needful, and that is prayer. Most churches today, if you was to go in them and visit the service, they pray over the offering for sure. They would probably have an opening prayer and a closing prayer, but that's about it. But the Bible teaches us how important prayer is, And if we ever needed to pray, we need to pray today. What did David say in Psalm 61 and 1? Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my ear. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, oh, listen to this. I'll run to my psychiatrist. That ain't what it says. When my heart is overwhelmed, I'll run to the medicine cabinet. That ain't what it says. See, I'm old-fashioned. I still believe Jesus is enough. Amen. I still believe that Jesus is big enough to solve any problem that we have if we'll let Him. Amen. I still believe that He's there for us to run to call upon. David said, when I'm overwhelmed, he said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been my shelter, a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. Oh, can you hear the cry of the heart of David this morning? And he was a man after God's own heart, and that's the only man that God ever said that about. And he saw the need for prayer. If you read the book of Psalms, you will see over and over where David prayed and sought God and cried out to God. Hallelujah. It would do us all good to model our prayer life after King David. Hallelujah. He said, when I am overwhelmed. Well, he first said, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I pray unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, Brother Brennan, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He's the only answer for what ails us this morning. Amen. Not a new president, as much as I want a new president, hallelujah, that's still not the answer. Amen. Only Jesus Christ is the answer today for what is wrong with this world. There is the problem is this. It's always been this. Sin. And the answer is this, and it's always been this, and that is the finished work of the cross of Calvary. The shed blood of the Lamb of God. That is the answer this morning. That is the answer this morning. We live in a nation that can best be described. Turn with me to Jeremiah, the 6th chapter. Jeremiah 6 and 13. I want to show you a description of America from about 2600 years ago. It can best be described from Jeremiah, the 6th chapter. We'll start in the 13th verse. Jeremiah 6 and 13. And we live in a nation that can best be described by these words that were penned by the Holy Ghost so many years ago. Of course, he's talking about a different people then. But oh, it certainly applies to the nation that we live in today. Jeremiah 6 and 13. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. Amen. Someone wiser than me once said, as goes the church, so goes the nation. You can usually figure out how bad a shape the church is in by looking at what kind of shape the nation's in. Ooh-wee. Oh, that dude. Had to preach. Amen. Listen to what it says, verse 14. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. In other words, offering false hope. Listen to me. Any man that offers you hope in anything outside of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary is offering you false hope. The message of the Word of God from Genesis to the end of Revelation is the Lamb and Him crucified. Him slain. From the time that Adam and Eve fell in the garden and God made them coats of animal skins all the way to the book of Revelation where we see where that John was told not to weep because the Lamb is worthy. All the way through, even whenever Jesus comes back, the Battle of Armageddon, it talks about Him having His blood and it talks about His name being faithful. There's only one answer today, and that's Jesus Christ, period. Always has been, always will be. Those before the cross, they were saved because of their faith in the Messiah to come and what those sacrifices represented and what that Lamb's blood represented. Those of us on this side of the cross today, we are saved because of what was accomplished on Golgotha's Hill 2,000 years ago when God in the flesh hung between heaven and earth and said, it is finished. And the temple veil was rent in twain from top to bottom, giving man access to God once again through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That is still, Sister Teresa, the only answer today. Amen. I know that man likes to point at this, that, and the other, and they like to say, well, there's power in this, there's power in that. The Bible says the preaching of the cross, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Jesus Christ is still the only answer today. Anything else is false hope. Listen what it says. This is really what I'm trying to get to. The 15th verse. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Oh, do you see that this morning? Neither could they blush. That means they were proud of it. Anybody ever been embarrassed before and your face turned red? And somebody say, oh, look, you're embarrassing them. We live in a nation today that not only do they condone abominations, they flaunt them in the face of a living God and they are not ashamed. Amen. And if you read the rest of that, you'll see where God says judgment's coming. The same goes for this nation. There's never been a nation that's ever existed that escaped the judgment of God. Neither will America. Amen. You will not condone the things that America condones and kill untold millions of babies, Brother Rodney, without any shame, without any regret whatsoever, and get by with it. Judgment's coming. And that's what he goes ahead and tells here in Jeremiah, the 6th chapter. Listen to what he says. I'm going to read you the rest of this. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. In the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Talking about his judgment. They were proud of their sin. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. I like the old paths. Amen. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not. We will not walk therein. That's exactly what this nation has said. I've set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But what was their response, Sister Tanya? But they said, we will not hearken. Amen? We will not hearken. And then it goes on down to talk about how because they had rejected his words, hallelujah, his judgment was coming. The verse I really wanted to get to, but it's hard to preach around. It's hard to get to that one without preaching the ones around it. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. If we ever needed to clean out our prayer closet, we need to do that today. If we ever needed to repair the altar, we need that today. If we ever needed a call to prayer, we need that today. If we ever needed a call to cry to a living God for His mercy, for His forgiveness, for His pardon, we need that today. To cry out to a living God for mercy, for forgiveness, for grace, for the lost, for a nation that has turned itself over to the powers of Satan. This nation is so perverted, so unashamed, that they cannot even blush because of their sin. I know this is not going to be a popular message, but truth anyway. They are proud of it. They flaunt it in the face of God. They celebrate Pride Month. Pride Days. They have pride parades where they march down the street, the main streets of our cities with their homosexual floats. And they're transsexual. They're men dressed like women and women dressed like men. They're not ashamed of it. They're proud of it. Proud of what, preacher? Proud of something that God has called an abomination. Listen, if we ever needed a national day of prayer, we need it today. If we ever needed the church to hit her knees every day, we need it today. If we ever needed to spend some time in our prayer closet every day, we need it today. Amen. Now, if your closet's like mine, it's so full of junk you can't get it in. I'm not necessarily talking about a particular closet to climb in. I'm just talking about finding you a place to pray and seeking the face of a living God and crying out to Him to save souls and to stir the hearts of the cold church. To rekindle that fire that Brother Spirit was talking about this morning. To cause the church to move, to rebuild the altar. To seek the face of God. To realize the listen, I love to run the aisles. I love to jump the pews. I love to shout and I love to speak in tongues. And I've got news for you. We need desperately to find us an old-fashioned altar and seek the face of God. Most churches don't have an altar. If they do have an altar, it's covered up with junk. If they do have an altar that's not covered up with junk, very few of the church members ever use it. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to get back to the old-fashioned altar, the old-fashioned prayer closet, the old-fashioned seeking the face of God and asking Him for a move in these last days that'll cause this nation to see souls saved like never before. To cry out to a living God for His mercy. A call to cry like David did. He said, I'll cry unto the Lord. I'll cry unto the Lord. We need to cry unto the Lord this morning. In this nation, we have men who think they are women and women who think they are men. God didn't make no mistakes. Amen. He created male and He created female and He created them in His image. Amen. Listen, we live in a nation that is so perverse, Sister Teresa, that you can get sued for calling a man a he and a woman a she because they think they're something else and they want to be called something else. Better go somewhere else. Amen. Because if you're a man, you're a man. And if you're a woman, you're a woman. We live in a nation that just appointed a Supreme Court justice that when she was asked this question, can you define what a woman is? She said no, she didn't know what a woman was. We live in a nation that expects us to trust the science when it comes to COVID and the virus and what they tell us to do. We're supposed to trust the science that don't even know the difference between a man and a woman. No, thank you. I'll just trust God and His Word. Amen. You're not helping your credibility any with me whenever you say you can't define what a woman is and you don't know what a man is. And now they're saying that when a child is born, they're not even putting the sex on the birth certificate. They're allowing the child to choose what they want to be later on. I got news for you. When that baby, well, before the baby comes out with the technology today, but when that baby comes out, they know whether it's a male or they know whether it's a female. Amen. And if you don't understand that right, then I'll explain biology to you. Hallelujah. I don't know a whole lot. I'm a redneck country preacher, but I know the difference between a male and a female. Amen. I know the difference. Amen. Somebody was asked, hey, well, do you know that what's the difference between a man and a woman? Well, I don't know. I'm not a biologist. I'm not a, you know, I don't know the difference because I'm not in that profession. Well, I'm not a veterinarian, but I know the difference between a cat and a dog. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning, we live in a nation that condones these things. And not only condones them, they pass laws to protect it. And they march in the streets and they wave their flags and they're proud of being perverts. We have perverts at every color, shape, and size, proud of their perversion, amen, that is sanctioned not by God, but by an ungodly government. And they even want to teach this to our children. They have raked Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida over the coals. Why? Because he signed a bill that would stop teachers from getting up in front of their class, their kindergartens through third or fourth grade, whatever it is, the mistake in the bills, it should have went from kindergarten all the way till they got out the door at the end of their school years. Amen. But they have raked him over the coals because he signed a bill that would stop teachers from getting up there and sharing about lesbianism, homosexualism, transgenders, all this LGBTQ, ABCDE. By the time they're through, they'll have the whole alphabet in there. Because he doesn't want that taught to kindergartens, I think it's up through the third grade or something. I got news for you. If you as a teacher feel the need to get in front of five-year-olds and talk to them about sex and talk to them about homosexuality and to talk to them about lesbianism, you are not a teacher, you are a predator, amen? And somebody needs to fire you and get you out of the classroom. Amen? That's the kind of nation. What are you saying all this stuff for this morning, preacher? Because I'm trying to tell you, we need to be on our knees crying out for this nation like never before, because we are seeing things like we've never seen before. Like we've never seen before. And Sister Tanya, it does not stop there. Amen? We see it going on in churches. And I'll use that word loosely, because I don't consider them a church. I seen an advertisement for a church, a Lutheran church, Trinity Lutheran Church in South Carolina, who was having a drag queen show in their church. Not long ago, oh, I guess it's been 2 or 3 years ago now, kind of got lost and hazy in the COVID mess that went on for 2 years. But a few years back, Brother Brennan, I saw where they were having a drag queen come in and read drag queen story time to Sunday school kids at a church. That ain't no church. That's a den of thieves. Amen. Somebody need to go in there to whip and turn over the tables. Now don't go out and do it and say the preacher told you. Jesus went into the temple one day and he turned over their tables, their money changing tables, and said, listen, this is supposed to be what? A house of prayer. Amen. A house of prayer. And you have turned it into a den of thieves. Hallelujah. So if we ever needed to hit our knees, and I know that some of us are getting so old we can't hardly get down and get back up. But I'm talking about humbling ourselves in our heart. Amen. You can do that sitting down. You can do that standing up. You can do that laying down. Humbling ourselves in our heart before a living God and saying, God, have mercy. God, have mercy. Most of the church would be ashamed if you asked them how much time they spend in prayer throughout the week, because they're too busy or they're not interested. Amen. Oh, we better get interested, church. This nation is on, as Brother Swaggart used to say, on a toboggan slide, on its toboggan slide to hell. Hallelujah. And the church ain't far behind, because she has got wrapped up and tied up and tangled up in trying to please everyone and not offend anybody. I got news for you. This word will offend our old stinking flesh. Amen. Now, this is the King James Version. If you might have something out there that you got a hold of that won't offend you, but it ain't good for nothing. Amen. Maybe to start a fire with. But if you have the Word of God, it will offend. There are times that I have looked into the Word of God, And I walked away thinking, oh my goodness. Oh Lord, help me. I gotta work on that. Lord, help me to allow you to work on that. Amen. Hallelujah. It will. It's a mirror. It'll show us where we're missing it. Amen. So will prayer. If we begin to spend time alone in prayer with the Lord, it'll show in our life. Amen. It will show in our life. There are Christians who are actually uncomfortable when someone asks them to pray for them. If they want them to pray for them right there, they're uncomfortable to pray for them wherever it is they're at. I'll pray for you later, I'll pray for you at home, or they just simply say, I'll pray for you, and never do it. But we ought to be a praying people, amen? We ought to be a praying people, hallelujah, seeking God like David of old. When he said, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And if we ever needed that, we need it today. You can turn over there with me, or you can just write the scripture down. You're very familiar with it. 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter and the 14th verse. People say all the time, well, we need a revival. We just need to get some preacher in here. And we need to get some evangelist in here. And you do, I mean, I evangelized for many, many years. It's a good thing. I'm not saying anything bad about evangelism. We need evangelists. We do. But 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 gives us the recipe for revival. And you can have this whether you can get a hold of an evangelist or not. If you'll obey God's word, 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, in essence, is a call to cry. It is a call to prayer. The Lord says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. And I like to go on to the next verse. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Amen. And we could read scripture over after scripture this morning, and we read a few as we opened up, where the Bible tells us the need, the necessity, the command for each and every one of us to pray. And like I said, this church believes in prayer. Not just as we come together as a corporate body on Sunday mornings or when we have a Saturday night service, but in our everyday life, you should be praying every day. And I'm not just talking about, Lord, bless the meat, let's eat. Amen. But we should be spending some time. And you say, preacher, I don't have time to pray 3 hours a day. I'm not even talking about that. Start out with a little space. Amen. Pray for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Pray for 15 minutes. That's a good place to start. Turn off the cell phone. Amen. Turn off the TV. Get along with God and spend 15 minutes praying and talking to the Lord. See if it don't do something for you. Amen. See if it don't do something for you. Ask the Lord to help you. See, it says here for us to forsake our wicked ways. Now, we think that's, well, that's drinking, that's adultery, that's fornication, that's lusting. I got news for you today. Anything you are looking to as your hope or your source of strength outside of Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross is a wicked way. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. It is destruction. Amen. It will lead you nowhere but down. There ain't but one way to have victory today and walk in the victory and keep the victory, and that is to keep our eyes set like flint toward a hill called Calvary, toward the finished work that Jesus Christ did, His death, burial, and resurrection, amen, when He rose triumphant over death and the grave, hallelujah, and because He lives, we can live, and because He is victorious, we are victorious, and we will learn these things, and we will see these things, if we'll keep our nose in the book and our knees in a place of prayer, hallelujah. I like what was it, D.L. Moody said, that every great move of God can be traced back to a kneeling figure, to somebody that was on their knees crying out to God for a move of the Holy Ghost, a move of the Spirit, for God to move upon the hearts of fallen man. I'm telling you this morning, prayer, and I read where one preacher this past week said, we don't need a national day of prayer. And I could see a little bit of where he was coming from. I read a little bit more of the article. He kind of showed his ignorance from the title, but I believe that anything that calls attention to prayer is not a bad thing. Charles Spurgeon said, anything that drives you to prayer is a blessing. Think about that. Chew on that a little bit. Wait a minute, even my trials that drive me to my knees, even the things that I go through that drive me to my knees, anything that drives you to prayer is a blessing. Oh, because we like Israel, see. When we wax fat, we kick. Your brother Hinton was here, he'd say, whoo-wee. When we wax fat, we kick. Israel, so many times, when they got in trouble, oh God, deliver us. But the minute things started going their way, hey Aaron, let's build us a golden calf, amen. Church got a lot of golden calves today.
This has been the Voice of the Lord Radio Church Hour, brought to you from the sanctuary of Voice of the Lord Tabernacle, Livermore, Kentucky. For more information, call 270-313-8753 or write to Voice of the Lord Tabernacle, P.O. Box 541, Livermore, Kentucky 42352, or visit our website, voiceofthelordministries.com. Write us today with your praise reports, prayer requests, or to order a free copy of today's sermon, or make a donation to Voice of the Lord Ministries. We would also like to send you our free monthly newsletter. And if you're ever in the Livermore area, come be in service with us at 216 Hill Street. Thanks for listening to Voice of the Lord Radio Church Hour. Until next time, may the Lord bless and keep you is our prayer.